For about 5 minutes.
Any longer and I couldn't handle it. So we'll call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance. Pledge
of allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So our first item tonight is public comment. If there's anybody that has a comment on anything on this agenda, we cannot stay until the public comment period. Now is your opportunity. Okay. First item is approval of the minutes. Oh, you know what? Okay, I'll do that. First item is approval of the minutes from November 10th of 2020. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll go ahead and second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now we will approve the agenda for tonight. I'm going to suggest that we move up 8 and 9 up to the beginning of the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda, moving items 8 and 9 up to the beginning of the meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. 8. So number 8 is, I guess the chair doesn't need this number. Introduce the new council member, which is Debbie Madrill. Thank you very much. This is her first time serving on our board, so we are very thankful to have her. I only had to twist her arm a little bit. And so now we have to elect a new chair and vice chair. You cannot be a chair twice in a row, so Randy, you're off the hook. Do I have anybody that would be interested in nominating someone for chair or volunteering to be chair?
I might get to be chair.
You want to
it's
be
not
chair?
A big deal.
Does that have to come from the board or does it come from the audience?
It comes from the board.
Yeah, I can be chair.
Okay,
if
so
anybody else that wants to, I will do it.
All right.
I'll volunteer to chair as well.
Okay, so.
You gotta vote on that.
You guys. All right. So.
Greg will be
usually
here.
Usually
not.
Okay, then I
resign. Well, I'm a vice chair.
Okay, so Brian.
Yeah, I can do vice chair. Chairs.
Okay.
And you know what? I'll be chair someday soon.
Okay. So we have
2 years.
Brian as chair and Lori as vice chair.
Sounds
do
good.
I have all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Sorry guys, I literally have never had that before. Okay, so Brian, you get to take over.
All right. We're glad that we can make things interesting for you.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move to our informational items. Do we have a report from the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department?
Hello, all.
Hello.
I know it's been a while. Apologize. I'm just back on my feet, more or less. Year 2020, we ended up closing down at 172 medical, 45 fires. So far for the month of January, we're 14 medicals, 1 flight, 3 fires, 1 brush. And that's just for this month. February's already off to a roaring start, too. I've been out sick now since August 21st is when I ended up getting my Chinese... What are we supposed to not call it? So...
That was awesome.
Yeah. The folks on the department out here, they've been kind of running overtime because I just haven't been able to do it. I'm getting to the point now where I'm almost able to come back and start helping out with all that. On a personal note, if you've got an opportunity to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I don't care what social media tells you. I don't care what anyone else, conspiracy theories or anything. If you've been through everything I've been through, trust me, you want to get the vaccine. It's nowhere near as bad as actually getting the virus. Don't, you know, just, you don't want to go through this, I promise. You hear stories about type O blood is not susceptible. It's not true. I'm an O. It wiped me out, guys. It was bad stuff. But short of that, I don't really have much else for you. If anyone's got something for me, I thank y'all for your thoughts and your prayers while I was out. And I'm trying to get it back now.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much, Ken. We appreciate you and glad to see you back.
Amen.
Yep.
And we appreciate those who've kind of stepped up to help out in that time period as well on our fire department.
And that would be Christine Brown, to say, and also the fact that she was, she also became Volunteer of the Year with Clark County.
Wow.
Why do we not know about this? Send me the details, please.
She's very humble. She's very humble. She would never tell you that.
She doesn't like people looking
at her. Yeah, well, her husband should be telling us this stuff.
Yeah. You're right, my bad. She's awesome.
All right, we'll go ahead and receive a report from Metro.
Wing it. How's everybody doing? We all good. It's not so much a report as I was invited to this meeting to be incorporated with what it is that we do. I'm the new sergeant that is taking over command for State Line and Red Rock, which incorporates all of the rural communities. Sergeant Dean, who I replaced, did a great job in leaving me success, so I can just build on what it is that he developed prior to me getting here. A couple good things. One, I'm in it for the long haul. I got about 6 years left in my career, and I plan on staying right here.
Yeah.
I know that one of the things that you guys, not only Sandy Valley, but everything from Trout Canyon to Blue Diamond Village, it's tough to be in the rural part and have a new sergeant in command every 1 to 2 years. Because what happens, you got peaks and valleys, right? Mm-hmm. The sergeant's here for 2 years, he builds up the product he wants. And then the new sergeant comes in and does what? Knock it all down, right? We've all been there. I'm not doing that. I'm coming into a good situation. I'm leaving a lot of stuff that's in place. And then we'll build and move forward on that. There's a couple things that we're adding. One is a Southwest, and this gentleman right here, Jason, he deserves all the credit. If it was left to me, it would have been a blank page with like a cactus on it. But he did a phenomenal job getting me up to speed. And what it does allows us to...
it's a Facebook page.
It's a Facebook page. It allows us to interact with such companies as Sandy Valley and Copper Basin and Prim and those things. And the way we set it up, or Jason set it up, was it allows me to get information out to the public and control the narrative in a positive way. So today was my first post. I'm pretty proud of it. A little nerve-wracking, but I got through it. The way it's set up is you can't interact with the Facebook page for obvious reasons. I work for a major metropolitan police department. It has a PIO office, so the narrative or the content has to be controlled. I just can't have people blasting away on the website. So that's one thing we actually kicked it off today. I'm gonna try to work with it, and as I get to know what Facebook is all about, I'll be able to incorporate more things. A big part of that, what got me the idea was the Sandy Valley road closure. If anybody wondered who closes that road, who decides which way it goes, it's me. That was my first time dealing with it. Yes, sir.
Are you the one that allowed the four-wheel drive through?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It has been so annoying to be able to go through that pass with four-wheel drive. I spent a lot of money on it only to be told no, because Toyotas can't make it, you're not allowed either.
Right. Well, this is how I'm going to run. I'm not an expert in everything. Okay, all I can do is base my decision off of common sense. So when it was presented to me with Sandy Valley Road, I actually got called at home, and they say, hey, this is kicking off. And I thought to myself, okay, what is my gauge? What is my reference point to closing the road or not closing the road? I can tell you, every sergeant is different. When I was giving the information, there was a lot of traffic accidents on the Sandy Valley Road. The only option I have at that point is to close the pass so we can clean up the traffic accidents, or else it's just going to keep funneling itself. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was closed. And the barometer I go off of is, does the Sandy Valley Road have the potential to cause head-on collisions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was my thought process. I'm not an expert in Sandy Valley Road. I am not. Now everybody says, well, everybody thinks of head-on collisions as, you know, a lot of damage, fatalities spread out across the road. Not always. It could be at 5 miles an hour. Just one sliding the other, but what happens is it causes a domino effect to the vehicles behind it. And it's kind of like you're in a boat, it's got a hole in it, and all I'm doing is scooping out water and not fixing the hole. You know, nothing good comes out of it. So I'm the one that makes that decision, and that's what I base it on. So for the next go around, not only do I have a website to work with now, you heard it directly from me, that's the barometer I'm going to go off. And a lot of the times it's going to be, I'm going to close it to be able to clean it up, and then I'm going to open it back up, just like this gentleman said, to four-wheel drive and chain tires, which are going to be required. And we monitor, I'm not making the decision, and then going back to my office. I actually said to my officers, we're going to monitor it until that thing is fully open again. So, that's one thing. What else? I've been up here 4 months, one of the most common question that I get is, how am I going to run the station, and how am I going to run the officers that work out of the station? I'm still in the learning process, but I can tell you this. The way I'm going to run the station in the communities is with a measured and balanced response. Everybody says, well, what's that? Good question. There's several ways to do policing. Not every way works. The policing out here does not work if I'm implementing tactics and tools like I was at 20th and Bonanza. Does that make sense? So one of the things is now I have to kind of tailor-made how we do things. And everything's set good. The way we address print and the California people is not the way we're going to address Sandy Valley. And vice versa. So just know this, measured and balanced. And that's pretty much it. Am I leaving anything out?
I don't think so. We've already been working together on things. I just shared the post from your page to the Sandy Valley Community Posts and the Sandy Valley Online Yard Sale page. Because of the way it's set up, he's not like a person that he can post us, so we'll work together and I'll be sharing his post. But if you're on Facebook and you want to get the information that he shares on a periodic basis, go ahead and like his page and then he'll be sharing that information. I know not everyone's on social media, but I have to tell you, it's really an efficient tool to get the word out. And I find that even if people aren't, they know someone that is. So the word really gets out. So it's just a great tool for us to use. I think you covered it.
Yeah, even though you can't interact with the page, there's nothing. One of the things that we're going to be monitoring is the community, Sandy Valley community page. Now, because I can't have my personal info spread across social media, it's got to be done in a certain way. So if folks have questions, or you're looking for an answer, you can still post on that page, and it will get to me. Whether it be the sheriff?
Either share or you can comment on the post. And the sergeant will see that.
If you have questions, if you have questions, whether it be tort or civil, we do not deal with tort law, civil law. I can't comment on it. I don't have an opinion on it. That's a strictly different court. What we deal with is criminal. But if you have a question, if you think about doing something, hey, can we do this? Ask, I'll gladly answer. It might take a minute, because what I want is I want a thoughtful, articulate response, which incorporates everything from department policy, from case law, you know, to the NRS. So I want the response to be accurate and have some kind of thought process in it. What else?
And the other thing was, I just wanted to say that we have a great working relationship with the officers out here, and we're very thankful for them. So
The fire department.
So the fire department is also the community at large.
Yeah. So. We're supporting the community.
Yeah,
I love it. You know, it's obviously a different style of policing. My background is all narcs and vice. So everybody thinks, you know, how did he get out here? And I'll say this, when the chain of command approached me and asked me if I would think about it, now that I've been out here for about 4 months, I'll tell you my answer that I speak to the chain of command is, if they would have called me 3 years ago, advice, and asked me to come out here, I wouldn't have considered it, because to be honest with you, I've been out for 19 years, never been out here, not sure exactly the mechanisms and how everything works. Now, fast forward to today, if they would have called me 3 years ago, I literally would have left Vice to come out here.
Yay.
So it is an awesome, awesome responsibility. It is an awesome place to be at. You get everything from prim to rare. I am still learning the ins and outs. But common sense overrules anything, and it's not policy. That's how I look at things. So I might not know something, but I'll figure it out. Cool? All right,
thank you very much. And we know you've been out for a while, but we'd like to officially welcome you out here. We look forward to being out here with you. Do we have a report from the Sandy Valley Schools?
I'm going to let you do that.
You're going to let me do that? I don't know that I'm officially supposed to, but I know we do have, you've probably seen in the news, pre-K through third grade is going to be starting back here in March 1st. Some of the staff for pre-K through third will be coming back February 22nd. We don't know what it's going to look like beyond that. I this is my own opinion. I think they're going to kind of see how this first part goes, and then there are some plans for phasing in some small groups, and then that'll eventually open up to the other grades as well. So we're just kind of working within this first phase. As far as athletics, they have canceled both the winter and fall seasons. They have not canceled yet spring season, which would be baseball and softball. So we kind of plan as if it's going to happen and then wait to see what happens. So, yes?
Does the spring of baseball, is that just high school or is that the lower grades or what?
So the only, the only athletics we have for middle school is basketball, and that season's been canceled.
Then I have an announcement to make. Then kids want to play Little League baseball. Well,
we can do that during public comment.
Oh, okay.
Or during the, yeah. So yeah, if you want to save that for that point, that would be great. Thank you.
You want to tell them about the construction?
They are constructing an elementary school. It should be done probably around April. So if you drive by there, the whole front parking lot's kind of been wiped out, but that's supposed to be put back in place here, I think, by next week. But if you take especially for the buses, in preparation for busing the pre-K through third, but they are building, they're in the process of building a new elementary school. So if you take a drive by and kind of take a look at that, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. They're in the process of getting all that going. And so we have some exciting things happening, even though things have been kind of weird and off. But I don't know if there's any, Ellie, is there anything else I'm missing?
Just that we are also approved for the high school. And we did have to do a couple of changes to the field.
Yeah.
So I think the baseball field and the football field are sharing.
They're going to combine them.
So that we can have the high school.
But we do have, so on the horizon, a new high school building and a football slash baseball field up in that area as well. So that's kind of after this elementary school gets done, and they'll start that next phase. I don't know any dates on that though. So.
So they're not going to be using Keystone anymore?
They'll use it until we get it on there, but yeah, they're not planning on using Keystone after that.
Okay.
It's been great using Keystone, but it's also caused some problems because it's the district and then a non-district entity, and that causes a ton of issues at times. So we're very grateful to have been able to use Keystone. But I don't know when that field's going to get done as well. So if the fall season, we could still be using it possibly in the fall. So like I said, I don't know the timelines on the field.
So it's too soon to try and lease the pasture then, huh?
Yeah, I would hold off just a little bit. If I do hear dates though, we'll definitely let you guys know at that point. So, do we have a report from Clark County Parks and Rec?
We don't really have anything. Until the 14th, we're closed down except for your guys' meetings.
Okay. Is there anybody from Valley Electric? Or does anybody know of anything? Do we have a report from Clark County Administrative Services?
You do. Okay. So, Sandy Valley Road. In case you guys weren't here last time when I announced it, we finally got the right-of-way from BLM. Mm. So we actually have the ability to work on it now, like that we never have had before. So Public Works is working on a plan to see what extent they're going to do. Ultimately, they would like to re-engineer the whole thing and lower hills and straight curves. I don't think there's a budget for that. That's a multi-million dollar project. I think they're going to plan to dig out and resurface, put a new surface on. So as I know more, I will let you know, but they are researching that right now. And the potholes, I know, are getting worse every day, and that's why we're having to redo the road. Usually they just respond to calls. They have put us on a regular rotation, so I think they come out every 2 weeks, and all of that works in our favor to push Public Works to get this done faster. So it sucks, believe me, I know. I drive them every day, but we all learn, to avoid them, but it's not fun. Family Dollar, I think if you driven by recently, you saw that they started moving dirt, and they had to have that done by the end of the year. They did. They have their off-site permit and grading. There's a little bit of a delay because they are wanting to make it a little bit bigger. Originally, it was about 8,000 in the 8,500 square foot range, and they wanted to go up to 10,200, I believe. So I think it's probably worth waiting a little bit longer for it. I was surprised when that came across my desk, but it's pretty exciting that they want to invest even more in our community. Vaccination clinic, COVID vaccines, like Ken said. Just a little food for thought, in the commission office, we were tasked with calling 2,300 doctors throughout Clark County. And in my little sample of the group that I randomly got, I talked to 23 doctors, and every single one of those 23 doctors had gotten their vaccine or had already had an appointment. So just a little food for thought. That means every single doctor I physically or verbally spoke to got it. So vaccine clinic, I'm working on that. I do not have a date. It's a moving target. We meet Tuesdays and Thursdays and get the most up-to-date information, and it's just a lot to handle, so we don't have a date yet. I will reach out. I've been compiling a list. I've reached out on Facebook, and I've gotten great response. I have 45 people signed up, or they have expressed interest, not signed up, but have expressed interest. If you know anyone that is 70 or older, or school district employee, they can take place to get their vaccines at the clinic. Yes?
Megan, have you contacted Linda?
I talked to Linda earlier today.
Okay.
Please, if you know someone that is 70 or older, I also put it out to see 65 and 69. By law or by I guess not law, but we aren't allowed to say that we can do 65 to 69. But if you know somebody, have them contact me. Chances are we may have some extra vaccines at the end of the day. And I can reach out to those people. And if your spouse is over 70 and you are in the 65 to 69 range, come with them. I'm just saying, just come with them. We can't put it out there and say we can do it.
Right.
So just accompany them. And I did have my vaccine, and I know people ask me all the time what my reaction was. Mine was very mild. And I've heard some people, Commissioner Breaker, who was our commissioner before, I guess her arm got so sore that she had to use her other arm to lift it up for a couple days. So it's all over the place. So I think that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? Really? Yes.
Who will be administering the shot?
I believe it's fire department.
Okay.
Yeah, it's and we're Greg Chief Castle.
He did it all day today. That's why he's asking.
Well, that's a loaded question in here. not you, because you didn't tell us about twice. I have to say, you guys know I moved out here because I love this community, but every day I'm reminded why I love this community. In my asking for people to let me know if they're interested in the vaccine, I've had four different people offer to come and volunteer who are nurses or have nurse training to come and help administer vaccines, and it's just awesome. I just love it. So I'm going to turn over for a few minutes to Jason Dagger. He is the executive assistant to Commissioner Jones in our office, and he is fantastic, and he helped Sergeant Pick get his Facebook up today, and he's going to tell you a little bit about a new program we have that's pretty awesome.
Yes, hi everyone. My name is Jason Dagger. Thank you, Megan. I want to talk to you quickly about Fix-It Clark County. This is a new system where public works, code enforcement, business licensing, and the commissioner's offices, so our site, can reach out to the constituents regarding services that are happening in the community. So this ranges from potholes to streetlights to public buildings with their lights off, or anything regarding streetlights, stop signs, stop lights. it ranges in everything public works related. Code enforcement, specifically when it comes to COVID violations. Let's say you walk into a business and they're not wearing masks and everyone's coughing, then you can report them to. The business will not be shut down, just so we can be prepared. If there are trucks parked on the side of the road and you would like to give them a friendly warning to not park on the side of the road, that's something you need to reach out to our office or to Fix-It Clark County. So it's an app, you can just Fix-It Clark County, or it's also the website. You can Google it and it'll pop up on the first page. You can either do that or you can contact our office. Once you contact our office, we can assist you with that. And it's a really, really easy system. It's better than the one system that they had before, from what I know.
If any of you tried the Clark Connect, it was awful. Absolutely awful. This program is really cool.
Yeah, and the good thing is they use your geolocation if you're using the app, or if you're using your laptop, you can zoom into a specific location that you'd like things to be fixed. I just started recently with Commissioner Jones, so it's very nice to meet everyone. Hopefully I can get around and chat with everyone, but if you have any questions, please let me know. And I'm here.
The other thing about Fix-It Clark County is you can zoom in on an area and see which kind of complaints have been put in.
Yep.
Which is kind of interesting to zoom in on different areas.
Yeah,
and it'll also let you know if someone's already put that complaint in.
Exactly, so, make sure there's no duplicates,
yeah.
Which is probably better for the government side of things. And make sure that things are pretty frequent. So for example, just last week I put in a request for a street light maintenance. I try to drive around the district, see if there's any issues and do it myself. Try to be proactive. And within 2 days it was resolved. So it's relatively quickly, once you put it into the system, it goes directly to Public Works and their administrative office and gets it resolved. So, does anyone have any questions about the service? We're good? Perfect. Thanks, everyone.
Is that all you had, Megan?
Yep, that's it.
All right. We'll move on to the planning and zoning. We have one item, ZC-20-0582-Farai III LLC. Zone change to reclassify 4.6 acres from C2, General Commercial Zone, to RU, Rural Open Land Zone. Design review for a single family residential development, generally located on the east side of Papago Street, 350 feet north of Nickel Avenue within Sandy Valley. And we have a representative for a brief presentation.
Most everybody knows about this place. Just to bring those of you who don't, bring you up to date, that 5 acres was part of Nopaw Farms. They were growing marijuana. They had permits for medical marijuana, wanted to do the recreational. Unfortunately, there was 6 people within 600 feet of that property that were highly allergic to marijuana, one of which was taken to the hospital with anaphylactic shock. So, you know, marijuana is still going through its growing stages, you know, like penicillin did. It's a great thing for a lot of people, but few people get big reactions from it. Anyway, the owners of it lost interest in it. They tore down the little greenhouses. They were going to put up massive greenhouses to do their project. That didn't go through. So they took the house in the front, and they were growing marijuana inside the house, overloaded the electrical system, and burnt the roof off the house. 4 or 5 or 6 months went by. They lost interest in it. An investor friend of mine called me up and said, hey, I got, you know, so I said, call that guy up, see if he's interested in selling it, but just don't mention my name. So we put a group together, we bought it, we resurrected the house, we took the entire roof off, put it back, new wiring, rebuilt the entire house. And we're converting it back from the C2 back to residential. So this can't happen again in the middle of a neighborhood. All right? It didn't belong there in the first place. I don't want to get into all the details, but we're putting it back so it's just part of the community. And the houses will be sold off as residential houses. So basically, we just applied to convert it back to what it was about 4 or 5 years ago. Anybody have any questions?
I motion that we approve this.
I second.
So there's a move to approve this change on the property. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
That didn't hurt me.
That hurts nobody's feelings.
That may have been your briefest presentation yet.
Yes.
And we thank you.
We appreciate that. All right, we do have a couple items of general business. Our first is review and approve the 2021 CAC meeting calendar.
So we do this at the beginning of every 2 years. We are lucky that this meeting time doesn't fall on any holidays. At the end of the month, it gets really tricky. So we have it scheduled for 7:30 on Tuesdays. It's usually the second Tuesday of the month. That's pretty straightforward. This is your opportunity if you wanted to change the time, which we know that is a whole thing, but if you want to change the time, or if you wanted to change it to every other month or quarterly, this is your time to do that. Or we can just approve it as is.
Do we have any discussion on the bylaws? The time, the meeting schedule?
I think I'm okay with this. It seems to work.
I move that we approve the schedule as written.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we'll move on to our next item, is the review of CAC bylaws. This is for discussion only.
Yeah. I did print out copies of this. It's the same bylaws we've had before. Nothing has changed. It basically says that you gotta play fair and show up on the meeting dates and all that stuff. So I sent copies to you in the email. So if you have any questions, we can discuss it, but right now it's not an action item. It's just so that you know you got them, and I encourage you to just review them briefly. If you do find something that you strongly disagree with, let me know, and we'll talk to the DA about it. That's about it.
I'll just point out just one thing, is that there's not a need for a second. After a motion, we follow the same procedures as the county in that. So just general public. We don't, if you don't hear us, it doesn't hurt if there's a second, but if you don't hear a second, it's not necessary.
Yeah, in these meetings. Follow the Board of County Commissioners follows modified Robert's Rules of Order, which does not require a second. But people love to do a second because that's just normal.
Because it's fun.
So if you do, I'm not going to, count you down for that.
But it doesn't say we can't do it. It just says it's not necessary.
I have one more that thinks it's funny that there was a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. Oh. So every time. They get me every time. But thank you. So, okay. And that's it.
Oh, I don't know what to turn on now. All right, now we have the time for comments by the general public. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up and clearly state your name and an address. And if any member of the council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will need to be done by the chair or the council by majority vote. Yes?
I got a shorter explanation. About a year ago, we got in touch with Metro and the DMV, and we started doing a car crush. We rounded up cars without titles, with titles, whatever. We did this about 10, 12 years ago also. It was very successful. So anyway, where Hungry Jose's restaurant used to be, I'm sure if you drive down courts, you can see a whole bunch of junk cars. They'll all be gone in about 3 or 4 weeks. The DMV was out there today with the inspectors. They ran all the numbers and everything. They're coming back Thursday to finish up. And then the car crusher will come in a few weeks and crush them all. It was a really interesting thing. 10, 12 years ago, we did it. We just put a sign up. And within 30 days, we had 150 cars. People just dragged them in. This time, it took like 9 months to get 150 cars. When I first moved out here about 18 years ago, someone from the airport flew over Sandy Valley and estimated there was 4,000 junk cars in Sandy Valley. And the actual town, I mean the CAC board, whatever it is, the old judge used to be here, they did 3 car crushes about 15 or 18 years ago. And this is the third one I've done. But the town's getting cleaned up a little bit. It took us a long time to find, you'd be hard pressed to find 100 junk cars left here. But anyway, they'll all be gone in a couple of weeks.
All right, thank you very much. Do we have any other comments?
And we're clean.
You want
to? Just let everybody know if they got kids that want to play baseball, if they're not going to be playing baseball at school, the Little League is extended its territory. Southern Islands Little League is accepting players from Good Spring, Sandy Valley, and Prim now. So if anybody has kids or knows kids that would like to play in the Little League, come and get a hold of Southern Islands Little League and the president, Craig Lee. He posted something on the Sandy Valley site so people can get a hold of him. But I think it'd be a good idea for a lot of the kids to get started at a young age so that when they do get to high school, they already have the fundamentals and they already know how to play a little bit, you know? So if you have a boy or a girl, either one, they're taking both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dale Beckman, 875 Osage. I would like to be put on the agenda for March 9th to have a discussion regarding Sandy Valley being designated as a B city, and St. Jude's Women's Auxiliary approached me on this, and we already have people with hives in the area, including Mark Property has a hive for over a year, but it has to do with making sure that we have shrubs and plants. The mission is to galvanize communities to sustain pollinators by providing them with healthy habitat, rich in variety of native plants, and free of pesticides. And there's about 95 bee cities in the U.S. as of the end of 19. And the designation is just about having a committee and that you try to have as many pollinating plants and bushes for our area that'll attract the moths, the caterpillars, the birds, all the pollinators. So that's something I'd like to add for the next agenda. And then I have one other thing. Sometime this month, we should be getting flags at the post office, U.S. made flags. Myself and Kay at the post office went in on prepaying for 10, and they're going to be sold for $29. $7 will be profit that will go to the American Legion Post 27. And that's it.
All right, thank you very much.
Hopefully the size of the lights.
Yeah, the size. Hopefully
better. Oh, they're the 3x5 outdoor polyester, the better ones you can get.
Yes.
Jan Schultz, 1605 Lava. I wanted to actually bring this up. I'm not sure if anybody else is having an issue in their location here, but I noticed that there was an increase in noise, music, that I've been having issues with at our house. I noticed that there's, I can hear it in the house. I can, especially at night when it's time to go to bed. And I've been trying to call the Metro to put in complaints for it. And I wasn't sure if other people have been having music issues, noise issues that they can hear and have been bothered by and have been calling in at all.
Where are you located? I'm sorry.
Alava Avenue.
East or west of Shoshone.
I'm not sure where Shoshone is. Wait, no, Shoshone's over there. Okay, that's past CG, right?
Yeah.
I'm east of CG. So I just, for some years now, I've noticed that the noise level is getting...
It's like afternoon parties.
Yeah. So, just because I've been trying to call Metro, and I'm not trying to do noise complaints. I don't want people to get fined unnecessarily. I just want to try and get somebody out there to talk to the people who are creating this noise. And sometimes I just kind of feel like I'm on my own. So that's why I was kind of reaching out to see if anybody else was having issues with this. And if there's something, if other people are having issues, if there's something we can do as a community to...
Well, have you talked to the neighbors that are making the noise?
If we haven't asked, a lot of times it's a language issue.
Okay. There's community mediation services through the county, and they can even get an interpreter. And you guys can sit down and hear, probably, Megan can probably set it up.
Or, Army Sergeant is here, and I'm sure he would mic up if you have to bring
him up. I can answer that for you right now if you like that.
Okay.
Just so everybody knows. So, here's the thing about the ordinance in Clark County. Everything's based off of Las Vegas. So what happens is the outlying communities are dealt with a law that doesn't necessarily function well out here that it does there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you bring up a good point. And good for you, I cannot stand red tape. So, in Vegas, there's a 24-hour noise ordinance, meaning because it's a 24-hour city, the guy that's having a pool party blasting the radio is now annoyed, but he says, well, it's only 3:00 in the afternoon. You go to a lot of communities, like in other states, and they say, oh, the noise can go that way until 7 p.m. or whatever. Vegas is different. I don't know what the platform is up here, but one, I'll find out for you. Two, if that's an issue or you know the address, I'm not gonna put you in that vicious circle of making a call to Metro, filling a report, set up a community advocate, and then coming back to you, and now we're now 3 weeks into the process. Does that make sense? So if you would like to either give me the address, or Megan, is it okay if they give you the information also? And if you pass along to me, when I say I do not deal with red tape, I literally do not deal with red tape. I remove everything in between and handle business. Now, handling business might not get you the answer that you want, but with something like this, we can definitely take it step, knock on the door, do not talk, explain them what the circumstances are. Out here, what they learn is very quiet. So what is a loud noise in Vegas, or what's not a loud noise in Vegas, it amplifies here across your valley. It's totally understandable. It's an issue of quality of life, and it's just a plain issue of respect. Now, if you think we're going to kick in doors and all that, what we can do is I can take that red tape away from you so you don't have to deal with it. Just make sure that I have the address, or it's a constant problem.
I have a whole list of
And I again, we can have a medical response to this. Try to talk to people, explain them, but we can also start citing after that first warning. And then we can keep going down the road. Good thing is, I have all the time in the world, just like they do. So it's one of those scenarios where, oh, Metro's gone, now we're going to turn off our music. Well, we can address that too.
Right. Because I had an issue on this past Saturday. I actually tried calling through Metro to people that were north of us. And of course, I couldn't get through. I tried calling twice.
Right.
And then later on in the evening, you know, we're getting ready for bed. You know, we're sitting there on our chairs, you know, just kind of talking before going to bed. And then I can hear the music, you know, and in the house. And so he actually went to, because every time I hear this music, I have to get to the car and actually hunt down where it's coming from. Because it's not just right next to me. It's somewhere far away. So he went down and I could hear it in the house, and I went for him to get back to me to tell me where it is, and it's going on for a while. I'm like, where did he go? Because I thought it was literally right down the street. That's how clear this noise was.
Sure.
He was a mile away.
All right.
So
that was a pro class.
So
I
called Metro, finally got through. The person I talked to said, no, we'll send an officer out. I get a call from the officer, and he was trying to find a missing person at that time too, so but he was saying, I don't know how to put this, but is it just you? Like, as I was the only person having the problem. And I'm like, well, my husband can hear it, and my parents are visiting too, and they're staying out in the RV, and so they could hear it too. And the fact that it was a mile away, but I was the only call, and I said, well, I, for the longest time, didn't know who to call to complain. So maybe other people don't know who to call either. Or maybe they've called before and nothing's happened. Maybe they got the same response that I had gotten. You know, like it was my issue instead of...
Is it the same pattern from the same house?
No, the thing is, like, this specific type of music comes from all over the place. So this one house, I've been keeping a track of houses.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first time I had gotten a specific house.
Okay.
Can I help you here, sir?
Sure.
I've lived out here over 30 years. This is a tactic that the Mexicans use when they're having a cockfight or something going on at their house.
Right.
They turn up the music real loud so nobody can hear what's going on.
Okay.
Then they'll turn it down after a while. They'll have their party. Then they'll have a band or something later on at night, and they'll have a big party after the fight's over. Or they'll have another fight later on in the evening.
Sure.
I've seen it happen. I know a lot of, I don't know them personally, but I know that it happens out here.
Well, you bring up a good point.
And they switch houses. They don't do it in the same house all the time. So if this is happening, that's why it's happening. Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee you.
Well, you bring up a good point. This could be a
lot of people that live out here, or some of them, I'm going to say a lot, We're knowing the people that got busted up off of Cary in Las Vegas Boulevard or wherever that cockfight ring was busted in North Las Vegas. A lot of people know the people out here.
Right.
Fact.
Okay. Well, you bring up a good point. I'm glad you told me that. Because, again, it's one of those things where you're walking through not talking about music, but there's an underlying problem.
There's an underlying situation.
This is what I would like to see. I'm taking away the red tape so you don't have to jump through hoops just to get a simple response. What we can do as a department, we're an advocate for you guys. So again, what we don't want is you to go take care of the problem yourself and then it escalates, right? And then it goes, we've all seen it. It starts off as a noise complaint, then fists are flying, and someone's pulling a gun, and then it's all this craziness at that point, right? Let us handle it. You know, it'll be a small problem.
Right.
And like I said, you brought up a good point. It could be an underlying factor.
There's also dog fighting.
Okay, we need to kind of keep it a little bit more orderly. We're going back and forth. So if you've had a chance to speak, we need to let other people speak who haven't had that chance. I don't know if you had anything to kind of finish up, or if you had your question answered.
I had stuff in my head. I'm trying to figure out what I was going to say. I just know that what he was saying, how they turn it up and down and up and down. So like, sometimes when I try and call, and then all of a sudden it stops. And I'm like, well, okay. And then it starts up again, so I have to call. And that's what happened is after I actually got off the phone with the officer, because I didn't hear it anymore at that point, I was like, I'll just call back if I actually want to file a real complaint. Because I just wanted him to come out and just tell him to turn it down. And then as soon as I get off the phone, we're trying to go to bed, I hear it again. Yeah. So I tried calling again.
So I would maybe spend a couple of minutes just after this meeting's over, and you'd probably get some of your questions answered there. That would be helpful.
Just reach out to see if anybody else was in here, so that we could communicate to help solve the problem.
Appreciate that. Did you have anything else just to add on to that, or were you okay?
No, it's a concern. Okay. That we're advocate for it.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, and then we'll... No, because he already had a chance, so I want to make sure I get everybody who hasn't...
Just really fast.
Well, I want to make sure everybody that has not had a chance to comment first before.
I'll be long, yeah. It's Karen Marshall, 1215 Norite. I just had a question for the board moving forward. Over the past, I don't know how many months online, there's been a lot of activity by the county, including the master plan, all the changes that they want to make and how they're going to build things and how they're going to keep rural and urban and all this stuff has been going on in the background with the county online, focus groups, community comments, you can attend online meetings, all kinds of stuff. So if all that stuff is in the works and has been for months long, could we maybe get a monthly report on how that is progressing? And can we have a focus group, or has there been a focus group already involved in that process? Because I read online about all this community input they got, and I came across it by accident that they were doing it. So it was a little too late. I did sign up, but it was just too late for me to get involved. They're probably thrilled with that. But at any rate, if we could do that, that'd be great.
Right. So it's called Transform Clark County. And as most of you know, our code does not handle rural areas very well, or well at all. And it's not just for our rural areas. They're rewriting the whole code because our code is really hard to deal with. And they have consultants that are working on it. The beginning of the process was about the big picture. We want clean communities. We want economic development, all that kind of amorphous good ideas. Now we've gotten down to the nitty-gritty. And so we have a representative. They allowed one representative from each community. And our representative from here wasn't able to be on the call, but I was on the call and advocated for here. I live here too, and I know the concerns. And I have to say the consultants really heard what we were saying, 100%. And I am pushing for a focus group out here for the consultants to come out and sit down and really hear what the community members want. I don't know if I'll be successful or not, but I have asked, and Commissioner Jones is supportive of it. So it's a months-long process. So I will come back and give updates. There's nothing to update right now. We've had one call, and it was just a kickoff, and like, what are your concerns? And so we threw out things like, don't treat us like the city. Concerns about animals, concerns about lot size, concerns about design requirements, things like that. So it's very preliminary. As we get further along, we will definitely update. And if I'm successful in getting to have a focus group or a roundtable discussion or whatever, I will absolutely reach out and let everybody know about it.
Well, if nothing else, disseminate the information that's online now. I mean, I don't know where all the sites are now or whatever. I mean, I got involved in some of them. But, you know, everything was there, and you were able to read it. It was posted, mm-hmm. What all the key points were, what the community concerns were. And it was like a whole bunch of people were involved in giving this information, and I'm wondering who from our community or other rural communities was able to provide that information? There was a lot of consumer input.
Right, and mostly that has come from surveys. And like I said, at this point, it's not code. It's more just general ideas of we want clean communities. Well, yeah, we all want clean. Now we're getting to the part that is where the community...
Well, they were including Title 40 in that, and the changes that were made. And
Title 30.
Some of the 30. Changes have been wrong, and what are the new ones?
No, nothing has been changed in Title 30.
No, but I mean, they were talking about previous changes and how that affected things, and how it will affect things in the future. So I'm just saying our input wasn't there as far as I was concerned. I read through it, I looked at it, and as a community, our input was not involved in that process.
The changes to Title 30 that were done affected this community very positively.
Well, I think that's
I'm hoping they don't undo
let's
it.
Share the information.
But no changes have been made yet, is what I'm saying. Yeah. No changes have been made yet. Nope, there has not been any change. We had the first call about Title 30. The very first kickoff call, and nothing was decided yet. So that's why I am asking and advocating for them to come out here and meet with us and hear our input. The other stuff has been surveys, and I have to tell you, the surveys were very hard to understand. And like I said, very amorphous concepts that weren't what we want to see in Title 30.
Who did the surveys go to? Not here.
They were online, and it was all during COVID. It's all happened at the worst time. So
there was a lot of communication online about all this stuff.
They're going to do
seeds were sowed. Let's put it that way.
They're going to be putting out new surveys as far as the code goes, as far as updates and what you want to see in those.
Also, to add to that, I do communications for Commissioner Jones. So if you follow any of his pages, I am adding the surveys almost weekly to remind folks when to fill it out and when the deadline is, and to make sure everyone has as much info as possible. So then Megan can also share it onto the Sandy Valley
Facebook. Monthly isn't too often you get updates on that. I mean, I'm only asking. If the board agrees, I would hope that you would ask for that.
I'll just put it into my my report, because I'm on all the calls too, just in case someone can't be there, like this last time, the person couldn't be there, and it's from the board, then I am giving input as well. And I will tell you, the beginning of the process was very unclear. I didn't even know what they were asking for. It was very unclear, and it was only recently that a couple of the liaisons and I were able to get together and be like, what the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. So if it seems haphazard and unorganized, it was. And so that's it. But we are on board now, and we are on board at the important part.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anybody that hasn't had a chance to comment? All right, Mark, do you want to take another minute?
One statement that might help this couple here. We hear a lot of music all over. Unfortunately, living here in the desert with the dry air and the levelness, sound travels forever, right? It wouldn't be so bad if it was music or you understood the words. But part of the charm of living here in Sandy Valley is this multicultural environment. The Mexican families that live here, they're hard workers and they play hard. On weekends they have family gatherings and stuff like that. I'm not familiar with the cockfighting part of the music problem, but most of the loud music that I've heard in my part of Sandy Valley have been from family gatherings. And I always found that not that night of the gathering, but the following day or two, I knock on their door and have a nice talk with them, and they're responsive to it. They don't want to bother the neighbors. Try that. Wait till, if it's a family gathering thing, not a cockfight, and you can identify the house, just go and introduce yourself, tell them you're one of the neighbors, you know, you want them to have fun and stuff, but just be conscious of the, you know, the music level. And two or three times I've done that, and they've responded very nicely. We used to have a problem about a year ago about a guy driving up the zigzag at night, 11, 12, 2 o'clock. You haven't heard that in a while, because mysteriously his car broke down.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he still doesn't.
In a different car now.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other comments?
I just have one quick one. I've heard the music, too, and dealt with it. And, you know, it used to be where we were outside, we could hear it. But lately, it's gotten so much louder that it's in the house, and it's way stronger than it was before. Because when it was outside, okay, we're outside, we deal with it. Didn't like it if it went too late. But something's changed recently to where it is so much louder that it's blasting inside our house. And it's not right around our house. It's coming from a long ways. And just being able to hear it outside isn't as big a deal, but when it's blasting in the house, it's way. And I don't know what the ordinances are for sound. If it's acceptable to be that loud for...
Well, I have some of the ordinances right here, too. Yeah. So I don't know if you would want to look them over, but it's just, it's excessive. It's just, because it's not necessarily just one or two houses. It's all around. And like I said, every time I need to go find out where it's coming from, I have to get in the car and go hunt it down.
Well, let's let Pick work on it.
Yeah.
Get him here and we'll let him work on it and hopefully let you do it. I have to tell you, I don't know if it matters if you understand the words or not, because I have a neighbor that lasts, knowing music, and I can understand the words and it still sucks.
All right, do we have any other comments? All right, so our next meeting will be on Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, and we'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
The Knights,
though,
they're 4-1. 4-1, the Knights are winners.
Are they?
Yeah.
Ah. Do you see the new jerseys they're wearing, the red ones today? They look slick.